Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our church here today, the Sandusky First United Methodist, especially any visitors that we may have. Hi, Mike. Good to see you. Keep coming back. Hi, Aaron. You know that guy? Today is November 28th, 2021, the first Sunday in Advent, and also the final day of Thanksgiving weekend. You know, we all celebrate Thanksgiving for a day of thank you, a day of gratitude. I have a little reading I have here. I should have started a couple minutes ago, but I'll get going here. How fitting that I'm your liturgist today on Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving is obviously a day to give thanks for and all the blessings that we receive. But it shouldn't be the only time that we express our thanks to the Lord and to others. We don't realize how many blessings we truly have, sometimes until we actually lose them. We really take so much for granted. Currently in Sunday school, we've been studying James, and we're all the way in the third chapter since the middle of the third chapter since we started in mid-September. We really take our time to understand more. Right now we've been talking about the tongue. The tongue can be so evil and untamed. And then it can be kind and praiseworthy. Gratefulness should always be our lifestyle in our daily lives. I am so grateful to the Lord and my church family. This has been a tough year for me. In fact, I know that I'm up here more than anybody else, but I haven't been up here this year. So the Lord saw that I was up here Thanksgiving weekend. I was overwhelmed with the love and the caring words and the deeds from everybody in this church as I was laid up all summer. Through the cards, the thoughts, the prayers, the phone calls, the texts, the visits, meals delivered, driven to my appointments by Roger Williamson and Ivan Henderson. And speaking of Ivan, Ivan mowed my 3 acres of grass 6 weeks until he got sick and laid up in the hospital. Who's actually here today? Amy Henderson, I owe much to. By being a nurse, she trained my wife for all the nursing duties. My wife was overwhelmed with everything that she had to do. And I have to thank my wife, Linda. I've always been a person to try to do everything myself and not rely on others. So it was some real humility for me to handle. All I can say is thank you, and I love you all, the ones that are here and the ones that are not here. And I thank God for being in my life and for putting you in my life. Now to continue on, are there any I don't have too many prayer concerns. I have one here. Let's remember Ron Potter, whose health is pretty poor and in the hospital down in Florida. He's not doing well. We have a list, thoughts and prayers on the bulletin. Please look at that. We don't have any birthdays or anniversaries today. We do have, on the back page, we do have some announcements. The finance and the church council for December have been canceled until January. Also, the United Methodist Women meeting is canceled. The upcoming pop-up food pantries, you'll see the schedule on the back of your bulletin. There are extra apples, pies, and dumplings that are available from the Deckerville Church. You can contact the office. Pies are $10, dumplings are $4. Anyone interested in becoming an equalization member for the annual conference in June, please contact Pastor Sue. Also, an Advent Bible study, The Journey by Adam Hamilton, begins on Wednesday, December 1st at 11 a.m. in Wesley Hall. Pre-registration is encouraged so that she can have enough handout materials. Also, Christmas Eve services. There will be two services this year. On Friday, December 24th at 7 p.m. and also at 11 p.m. I hope all of you can come to one or both of those services. They are very moving. And where'd she go? Oh, there you are. Today is United Methodist Student Day. And we have a little skit from Suze.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, today is one of the six special Sundays that our Methodist Church observes. Today is the Sunday celebrating Student Day. And the collections that we received, the donations we received today will be sent to our students who are forwarding their education in ministry. The United Methodists have been investing in our students for more than 100 years. United Methodist Student Day invites the church to support United Methodist students in achieving their educational goals. The funds received award United Methodist scholarships to undergraduates and graduate students. Your gifts will help these young people achieve their educational calling with more financial freedom. Churchwide special Sundays offerings enable all of United Methodists, all of United Methodists, to share the love of Jesus Christ with God's people everywhere. In your bulletin today, there was a special envelope enclosed if you'd like to make a donation for the student day. That would be greatly appreciated. I also have one that's in our little offering boxes. And by the way, they are in the back in the narthex if you'd like to pick up your 2022 offering envelope. So keep the students in your prayers. And I also would like to mention one little thing about our Mr. Carey. He also asked, he mentioned about people mowing his lawn and the food that came in and everything. Let me tell you what he asked of me. He wanted me to come over this summer and pull the weeds in his driveway.
You're the only person I asked to do anything, and you failed me. Thanks, Susan. We are now on the air, and I'd like to welcome all those out there listening on the radio, to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. And our mission statement is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And today, I repeat, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and welcome. Let us begin our worship service with the prelude and the lighting of the candles. So I ask you to please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship this morning. Now I ask you if you would please stand for our praise song. It's on the screen. Come on, ring those bells.
And now we're going to have the kids come forward. The kids would come up. Come on, children. They're going to be participating this morning.
Is that there? All right. We're just going to, I don't know the words to the. For the chorus. Yeah. All right. We're going to do the chorus, and you get to just enjoy these children. So come on. All right. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Okay, great job. Good job. Now you guys can go on down. Leave the bells with Stephanie, I guess. We did have the words up there for everybody. I don't know what happened to them, so. All right. That's all right. You may be seated.
You may be seated.
We're going to have you sit. Let the kids get settled in.
We will now have the lighting of the Advent candle. In our reading this morning, taken from Jeremiah 33, verses 14 and 16, and Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. We have endured these past few years and know that there is more to face before us. We don't know if we have the strength to withstand what might be around the next corner. And we wonder Who will stand with us? Who will have our back? Who will occupy our corner?
Who is with us? This is what we begin to wonder these days. Who will light our way and chart our course? Who is on our side? Who will welcome us home again?
Home. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of a branch that will be raised. Jesus spoke of a Son of Man that will descend. Both point to a hope that calls us home, our true home, where we're welcomed and loved and included, where there is justice and equality and peace. It's time, this Advent season, time to go home.
We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our strong hope, that there is a way to go home, to the home in Christ. And it starts with us, and it starts here, and it starts now. It's time to go home.
We will now light the first candle on the Advent wreath, the purple one. Thank you.
Now let us sing the Advent
song.
If you would please stand for our call to worship this morning. If you would please respond to the bold print. Make me to know your way, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your trust and teach me.
Almighty God, who came to us long ago in the birth of Jesus Christ, be born in us anew today by the power of your Holy Spirit. We offer our lives as home to you and ask for grace and strength to live as your faithful, joyful children always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is page 196, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
seated, and I'm going to invite the children to come up for our children's message. You're going to let me down. Thank you. All right. How are all of you? Good? All right. Can you find a spot? So, we just had Thanksgiving, and now look at the sanctuary. What happened to it? It came into Christmas. That's right. The tree is up, and you guys got to ring the bell and light the tree. Come on, ring those bells. Light the Christmas tree, right? And why do we decorate? Yep. Celebrate God's birth, the birth of his son, Jesus. That's right. And his birthday, isn't it? Yeah. We had no birthdays or anniversaries this week, but we're going to be celebrating Christ's birthday, aren't we? How old is God? Wow. I don't have an answer for that, but that's a great question. Because God created the earth. When he was two? I don't know, because it... When he was learning magic. Okay. Well, you know, there is some magic in Christmas. And we don't always understand. And you know what? We don't have that answer. God is... Eternal. Thank you for that word. Eternal. He is bigger than what we can think of, more than our imagination can even fathom. Right? He is forever eternal. But that's a good question. So we decorated the sanctuary so that we can remember Jesus Christ, his birth, right? But we also are preparing. We're preparing our homes, we're preparing the church, we're preparing our hearts for Jesus Christ to come again. Have you guys decorated your home?
Yeah.
Yeah, got your tree up? You haven't decorated yet, but you know that's okay. Wow, you got a full day. You got church, and then you're going to eat a sandwich, and you're going to go shopping for a tree, and then go to the movies. Wow, that's a lot. Go, Mom. She's downstairs, yeah. All right, I have to tell her, go, Mom. Go, Mom. All right, sounds like fun. But how else can we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus? We prepare the sanctuary, the church. We're preparing our homes with trees and decorations. How do we prepare our heart for Jesus? Any ideas? It's a much harder question, isn't it? What do you think, Audrey? By believing in him. Good answer. Anyone else? Pray. Thanks, Corbin. Say prayers. Absolutely. What'd you guys do today? Did you sing? You sang? Singing? Praising God? We're worshiping? That's how we can have Jesus in our heart. Talking about God. Sharing it with others. You guys shared this morning. Coming to church, Kaylee, thank you. All good answers. So as we go into Christmas, this is what we call the season of Advent. Did you know Christmas doesn't really start till Christmas Day?
And Christmas break.
And Christmas break? From school. From school. Yeah, that's important too. We do have that Christmas break in there.
But we just can't have Christmas while we're at school.
That's right, you can't have Christmas while you're at school. That's right, we need to get ready, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is getting ready, getting prepared, right? So, as you prepare for Christmas, prepare for Jesus' birth, let's think about it by worshiping, singing, praying, talking to others about Christ. All right? All those things. Can you do those for me? All right. Let's pray, and then we'll hand out your children's bulletin. God, we're thankful that children are innocent. We thank you for their words and their comments. We thank you, Lord, that they are participating and serving you. And we pray that all of us will grow our hearts and our faith, our beliefs in you as we go through this Advent season. In the name of Christ, amen. All right, here's your bulletins. There you go. Yep. Hey. There you go. And Carrie's going to read the Old Testament.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalms chapters 25, verses 1 through 10. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
Linda Schramm has some words before we go to our choir anthem. The kids went down. They're practicing for their program, which is Sunday, December 5th at 5:30. Hope that you will come.
One of the things I always love about this season and at this church is our tree and the symbolism that's on it. The Chrismans predate me being a part of this congregation, and I've only been here 45 years, so it predates that. But I kind of fell in love with it, and so kind of in the holder of the memories of how our tree got to be in this sanctuary. Christmas is a time of expectation and wonder. To get a closer look at the true meaning of Christmas, many churches decorate pine trees with symbols from Christian history, which refer to Jesus Christ. The symbols on the tree represent his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. They are known as chrismons. This is the 47th year the Christmas tree has been used in this sanctuary. Last year was the first year it wasn't we were shut down because of COVID. Who would have ever thunk that something like that would have happened in our lifetime? The word chrismon is made up of two other words, Christ and monogram. What you see on our tree are monograms of Christ. Many of these symbols were used in the early church as secret signs when Christians were persecuted because of their faith. By seeing these signs, they both identified with one another, and they proclaimed their faith. The decoration of a Christmas tree is not merely a matter of ornamenting a tree. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, who he is, and what his life means to Christians. The tree speaks most clearly to all who can understand it. And so as we talk about some of the earliest monograms, some of them were monograms for Jesus Christ. When you see the word Xmas, sometimes some people have tried to share that perhaps they're crossing out Jesus and just making Xmas. They're taking Christ out of Christmas. When in reality, if you know the story, the earliest Christians used the letter X, chi, as a word for Jesus. And so when we see Xmas, it's Jesus, Mass. Got a new iPad, not used to using it. Christmas are always made in white and gold to symbolize purity and perfection, majesty and glory of God. White is the liturgical color for Christmas, and gold represents the majesty and glory of God. Many of them contain pearls. Pearls represent the wisdom of God. Pearls of wisdom, yes. The greatest part of the chrismon consists of round beads, signifying the never-ending nature of God. So how this chrismon stuff ever get started? Well, it goes back to the Lutheran Church of Ascension in Dansville, Virginia. It's credited for the inspired concept of a pine tree decorated with gold and pearl beaded ornaments. It was there that the first chrismon tree was created in 1957. Since then, the idea has traveled across the country and around the world. Just think, it took just 15 years for that first tree in Virginia, for the idea for us in this congregation to have a chrismon tree. And how do we get the idea? Well, ideas always come from people. And the story goes that Imogene Cork had seen a chrismon tree in the Flushing United Methodist Church here in Michigan. And she brought the idea to our congregation. And even many of the beads in these chrismons were donated by members of the congregation from jewelry that they owned. And many workshop sessions were held for women in the congregation to participate in creating these special ornaments for our congregation. As I say, that was before my time here, but I know that Lee DeVore, Ruby Myers, Darlene Schulteis were some of the movers and shakers that got these chrismons created. And I think I heard just this year that maybe Michelle Seaman was maybe a youth or what's in this church, and somehow she had come to some of the sessions to help make the chrismons. Those people working on those chrismons were perfectionists, and since we're still using them 47 years later. I've asked people I know from the Flushing United Methodist Church if they still have their chrismon tree, where we got our idea from. And those women say no, that tradition has disappeared from their congregation. But it's still, the roots of ours still live in our tree. Chrismon trees always have only white lights and only chrismons hung on them. Symbols that represent various denominations are never used, for the tree should speak to all Christians through its symbols. So you'll never see a cross in flame representing United Methodism on a chrismon tree. Come on. The decoration of a Christmas tree is not merely a matter of ornamenting a tree. As I hope you'll remember, it is proclaiming Jesus Christ. It speaks most clearly when all who can understand it. So we take this time this morning to kind of talk about what it's all about. And one of the newer things I discovered not very many years ago, if you're up looking at it, be sure and look at the tree skirt under it. When I first saw it, I thought it looked kind of old and ratty. And then someone told me it was the dorsal cloth. Before the sanctuary was remodeled in 72 or so, the organ sat in the middle, and there was a thing up here that kind of had a cloth, so the organist, I think, kind of sat behind this cloth. Anyway, it was white velvet, and that's the cloth that was in this sanctuary before it was remodeled to look more modern. So all of a sudden, what looked ratty to me now holds historic significance. Perhaps that cloth goes back to when the church was built. I don't know. So it's become tradition in this congregation to explain what the Chrisman tree is all about. And if I ever get around to it, I need to do a slideshow talking about the various symbols about it. And I hope to get that done by next year. Thank you. Oh, and so at this time, the choir anthem is entitled, Let Me Tell You Not About Chrismans, But Let Me Tell You About Christmas. Thank you.
The choir gathers down. Let me share with you that this week we will be praying for Maine law. And out of the children's box for prayers, they say, thank you for our church kiddos. We love the smiles and laughter. I bet one of the adults put that on there. So thank you, children. And they are practicing hard. So let us go to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for the season of Advent as we prepare our hearts for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you for our kiddos, their smiles, their laughter, their loving servanthood. They love to share with you the love that you have given to them, and for that we are so grateful. We're grateful that we can decorate and prepare our church and our homes. Lord, we ask that you guide us and lead us, that we prepare for our hearts to be ready for you as you come again. We ask, Lord, that you guide and lead the leaders of this church, that we can reach out to touch the lives of others, that others may know the true meaning of Christmas, that Jesus is truly the reason for the season. So we come before you, Lord, with humble hearts. I pray that we come before you with faithful means of servanthood to give to you, Lord, as you love us and you give us your love. May we give back to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for the sermon is Gentle Shepherd. You may remain seated. It's on the screen and in your green book. This morning, our lesson is out of the New Testament of 1 Thessalonians, found in the New Testament. It's out of chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. Hear these words. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. I follow a lectionary, and today is the first Sunday of Advent. If you notice, our cloths are turned to purple, which also represent royalty, along with it can be white or gold, as Linda read with the chrismon tree of Christ's royalty and perfection. It's 4 weeks of Advent. Advent meaning coming or arriving. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come to us today. I followed the lectionary reading verses 9 to 13, but I want to go back and read from verse 6. Paul is writing and then Timothy is sharing this report. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Just added words from Paul that wasn't in our lectionary reading. But Paul reading to the church in Thessalonica, a church that he'd been at, he'd seen the people, they served the Lord, they praised the Lord, and they had faith. But if you hear their words in the scripture, what you're lacking in faith, he still wants to strengthen their faith, but Paul is away and can't be there. And he's hoping, you know, today we lit the candle of hope. Paul is hoping that one day he will be able to return to Thessalonica and be with those people, to be with the church, that he can help their faith increase. He also talks about, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. I believe it's not just Paul talking to the Thessalonians, but also to us today. May we thank God. Isn't that what we did this week with Thanksgiving? We thank God for all he's done for us. But we thank God for every day, all that he does all year round, not just on Thanksgiving. To thank God and encourage one another. Here Paul is writing and Timothy is reporting that they be encouraged. Don't give up just because I'm not with you. Don't give up. But continue to grow in your faith, to love God, and remember our two greatest commandments. Do you remember what they are? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love others as you love yourself. And that's what he's saying here. We thank God and we praise God with all that we have and to increase our love for others. Love for others. Love. It's what a Christmas is all about, is the love of Jesus Christ coming into our life. And now we prepare our hearts. In actuality, you heard me say to the kids, Christmas doesn't actually come till Christmas Day. In the United Methodist Church and probably other churches, we aren't to even be singing Christmas songs yet. We're supposed to be preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And then Christmas lasts a short time period, 12 days. You know that song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Starts with Christmas and it ends on Epiphany on January 6th. But socially, we already know the songs are out. We've played it on our radio at home. We've got the Christmas songs going. We've got our tree decorated just as in the church. And we celebrate because we already know that Jesus Christ came as an infant son of Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? So why do we prepare our hearts for Christmas if Christ has already come as an infant and grew? Well, we know that Jesus did come as a child, and he grew and he taught others. But he also died on the cross that we talk about on Easter and celebrate then. But he also rose again as we celebrate that on Easter Day. Now, we await. We await Jesus Christ's second coming. He is coming again. We have hope. As again, we lit the candle of hope. We have hope for Christ coming again. That's his promise. We have hope for our future, that we have eternal life. We have hope. even in the midst of distress and persecution, as it's written in the scripture today, we have hope because of Jesus Christ. And now, we are to be getting our hearts ready for Jesus to come. It's so easy to get our houses ready, isn't it? Well, maybe not that easy. It's a little work. But we put our decorations up. Most of the time we know where everything goes. It goes in its place, right where it has for tradition. It's always been there. That's where we put it. But what about us? What about our decorating our heart? So I read this morning in my devotionals, the woman had, Pam Kidd, had already put on her table in the center her Advent candles at home, because you can do this at home as well, to light on Sundays, the first Sunday, the second Sunday, the third and the fourth, and in the middle is the Christ candle that we light on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We light it here on Christmas Eve because that's when we gather. But at home, it can be on Christmas Day. I have my Advent candles. They're not out on the table yet. I guess I have till this afternoon to get them if we're going to light the first candle at home today. But we have to prepare. We prepare for church. We prepare for home, for Christmas. How many of you have already been out there shopping? Yep, very few hands. But we prepare. We've got our Christmas list. Oh, what are we going to feed? Have we already invited who we're going to invite? Are we getting the presents? Are we wrapping the presents? All of that is getting ready. But we have a home that we're going to. It's called eternity. Are we getting ready for that home? With our hearts, mind, soul, and strength? With our prayers, our presents, our gifts, our offering, our service? As we say in the United Methodist Church, are we preparing our hearts for Jesus Christ? Second coming. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for that your love comes down from heaven to us, and that we can celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. But now, Lord, help us to prepare for the coming, for the arrival of our second coming, even though we don't know when it is, but that we are ready whatever day it comes. In the name of our Lord Christ, amen. Would the ushers now come forward for our morning offering? Please stand as able. God, we thank you for your life, for all that you give to us, and for our hope and expectation of what will come. Now use these gifts as we get ready so that we can share your love. Others may know who you are and whose they are. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing song, O Come, Emmanuel. rejoice, rejoice. This is the season as we prepare for the coming of Christ, that we rejoice. Emmanuel, meaning Lord Jesus Christ, who will come for all of us. Now, as you prepare your hearts and you go out from here, know that the love of God is upon you. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.